All right, guys, good morning. I am excited to be here this morning. So before... Yeah, there we go. Okay, good. I love the feedback. All right. So, guys, we're going to do something this morning. If you're glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning, go ahead and raise your right hand. Hey, hold it up high. Hold it up high. Amen. If you're glad, if you're thankful to be alive this morning, raise up your other hand high as you can. Praise God. All right, leave them up, leave them up. So, guys, I know Christmas has been just incredible. We've had a lot of things going on, and we've had family. Oh, leave them up, leave them up. We had food, we've had everything going on. We've had family come down. We've had good times, bad times, and, you know, just God has just been so good. He's moving so much in our lives, and so I just want to say praise God. Amen? Amen. Amen. You can put them down. Now, you all know what it's like to be a four-year-old holding your parents' hands at the Cross Creek Mall. So, all right, this morning, I wanted to start us off with a little bit of fun because we are going to get serious real fast. This morning, we're talking about the subjects of subjects, a subject that I... Is this... Okay. All right. A subject that I, you know, at first glance, you think, oh, this is going to be easy. Not that much to worry about there. This is a big subject, guys. And this is one of the most misunderstood concepts of our faith. And if we are going to, in fact, follow Christ or Jesus, our Lord and Savior, everything hinges on the gospel. But what is the gospel? What exactly is it? Okay, that's what we're going to talk about today. Let me unlock. As you guys know, I'm very prepared. There we go. It's okay to laugh with me, but it's not okay to laugh at me. I'm joking. You can laugh at me. Okay, it works. Okay, so I'm good, guys. All right, guys, so my favorite verse that I always like to say, and I often forget, Psalm 122:1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I just love that verse because whatever's going on, our lives, and we get busy. But they said, David, it's time. And David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So I want to start with an apology. I do not have enough time to cover everything that I'm going to be talking about. Everything I wanted to cover is just, I just can't. So I'm going to leave a lot of you guys here. You're going to be asking, you may feel like there's something that I hit on that you want me to take further. There's something that I didn't quite define. You want me to go, define that a bit more. And I'm telling you, I just do not have the time. So I do apologize for that. However, I'm available. If you want to hear me say something more or talk a little more on something, then you'll just have to ask Pastor Ronnie to let me speak again and just go from there. But we are going to be going over some things and just praising the Lord this morning, okay? So this morning, let's go ahead and begin with prayer. Amen? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here in your house. As the psalmist David said, Lord, against you and you alone have I sinned, God. Father, we sin when we fall short of your glory, when we don't honor your words or your command. And before we sinned against any other person that we may have offended, Father, it was against you and you alone, first and primarily because it is from you that we learn what sin is, Father, and all sin is against you. Father, we thank you for so great a salvation, which takes broken vessels like me and enables me to proclaim your word, Father, and it enables us to not just to have good lives, Father, but to have eternal life, God. And Lord, we thank you this morning that you are here. We pray that you get glory for yourself, Father, however you choose, so, Father, whether it's through me humiliating myself or through however you choose to get glory for yourself, God, I pray that today you will get glory in your name, Father. I pray through this broken vessel of myself, I pray that you will speak, God, and I pray that we'll walk away here changed, understanding what is in fact the gospel. It's not just some cliche thing that we can just put on a postcard or something like that, God. It's what is the gospel, Lord? And I pray that you will just fill us, fill this place with your presence. Fill me with your spirit, Father. I pray that I decrease so that you may increase, God. And I pray for everyone here under the sound of my voice that may not know you as their Lord and Savior, as they're going to learn about what that all entails today. God, I pray that, lives will be changed, souls will be saved, decisions will be made. And I pray above all that you get glory for yourself, Lord. May you be lifted up here today. Again, hide me, hide all my insecurities, hide anything that may inhibit me from moving forward with you. Father, be with us today. Thank you, God, for this opportunity. Thank you for your birth. Thank you that you came into a broken world, Father, to heal it, Father. You gave us all the opportunity to know you in eternity. Help us to accept this, Lord. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So our sermon title today, what is the gospel? And of course, this answer can be found on Google, on the Yahoo search engine. How about Bing? The answer can be found in the Bible, right? Okay, so before we go there, why don't we ask ourselves, why don't we go over some common beliefs about the gospel? To some, the gospel is the good news that Jesus has come to take away the sins of the world. To some, the gospel is the most repulsive thing they've ever heard, and it is by means of this gospel that so many have been enslaved to a set of false teachings and restrictive lives. These so-called people that follow the so-called gospel, now they're not doing what they want to do. It's just a system of entrapment. That's what the gospel means to some people. To those who believed in Jesus' time, during his earthly ministry, the gospel was the long-awaited fulfillment of a Messiah who was to come and deliver his people. And I got several references to the several Old Testament prophecies. He was the awaited Messiah, okay? So what is the gospel? Okay, let's go to John 3:16. You can say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. All right, everybody buckle up. Is this the gospel? Well, yes. Yes, this is the gospel. And I hate to say no, but yes and no. Here's the question, okay? It is the gospel, but is it enough for a man to be saved? Just this person, if I didn't have access to anything else, no John 1, chapter 1, all the way through. If I didn't have access to it, just this verse, could I be saved? Okay, let's look at it. Okay, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Who's the son? Well, we know that, but if I didn't have access to anything else, who's the son? What does it mean, whoever believes in him? What does it mean to believe? What does it mean not perish? What does it mean to have this eternal life? Okay, well, let's go to Acts 26 to 35. If you're there, turn in your Bibles there, because I did the best I could. But, and the next slide's even worse with the verses, how small they are. All right, so I'm going to read. Everybody turn to Acts chapter 8, verse 26. When you get there, say amen. All right. I'll wait till I hear a lessening of the turning of the pages. Okay. All right. Amen. Now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road. I'm not going to read off the back. Switching. All right. Rise and go toward the road that goes down to Jerusalem, to Gaza. This is the desert place. And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasures. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, verse 28, and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah, verse 29. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and he asked, do you understand what you are reading? And of course, he said, how can I? right? Just like you can't read that, right? How can I unless someone guides me? And of course, he went in and he began explaining to him the verse. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before his shears is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. Isaiah prophecy of who? Jesus, right? Okay, verse 34. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom? Whom, I ask you? Does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scriptures, he told him the good news about who? So let's go back, John 3:16. Just off this one verse, can I be saved if I had access to nothing else? No, it's not enough. Well, let's do this then. Philip was asked, do you understand what you're reading? If I just read this, what do I understand what I'm reading? Now, again, if you said I have access to John chapter 1, verses, you know, and all the way through, now I can get to the point of believing. Now I can get to the point of being saved, okay? So, because there's a lot that, let's go ahead and read John chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, Jesus, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And in light of that, let's go back to John 3:16. Yes, I can be saved. All this is leading somewhere, so you got to walk with me. When you look at John 3:16, a couple questions. Okay, what's going on? Who is saying this? Why is it being said? Okay, as you begin to unpack these things, now the gospel begins to unfold. Who says John 3:16? Most of you guys have coloring in your Bible. These are the red words. Who says John 3:16? Jesus. And what's the backstory? He's talking to Nicodemus. John 3:16 is just a classic example of what I'm going to talk about today, of how we like to separate a certain part of the message, but we don't want the man of the message. Jesus is speaking. So when he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, who is this son? Himself. So if I didn't understand what Jesus was saying, it was directly in front of me. John 3:16 is not a standalone verse. And yet, it stands alone all the time. Hey, John 3:16, brother, God's the love of the world, okay? Get saved. It's not a standalone verse, okay? So let's keep on going. We got a lot to cover. So now, there are many verses that tell us about the gospel. Romans 6:23. Acts 10:9, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 3:16, this does tell us about the gospel as well. And many others. Let's look at a great passage to tell us about the gospel, okay? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. I didn't make this up. I received this. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 15. Let's look at another verse that tells us by the gospel. Here we have Jesus himself telling us by the gospel. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. What is this gospel? Well, let's go ahead and break it down, okay? Hopefully you can see that. Gospel, literal Greek term, means, you can say it if you know it, good news. Good news. Gospel means? All right, good. So if you look over here, it works. Over here, you see the Greek rendering, gospel, good news, euangelion, okay, everybody, euangelion, euangelion, euangelizo, okay, proclaim the good news, and good luck with that one, okay, to proclaim the good news in advance, okay, pro-euangelizomai, okay, this is the gospel, this is what it means, this is the words breaking down, it means the good news, okay, so, Jesus has come. He has proclaimed the gospel, which means the good. Everyone should be happy, right? Who likes good news? Me, right? So Jesus comes into the world and he brings good news. So everybody's just climbing over themselves to receive this good news of Jesus Christ, right? I mean, it's just happening all over the place. Everybody's receiving the good news, right? Right, wrong. This is now, Jesus has said, he's just got done telling the people, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you will not inherit eternal life. Then he goes on, John chapter 6, 61 through 66. When Jesus knew it himself that his disciples murmured at him, he said unto them, does this offend you? Number one, the Jews were not allowed under the law to taste blood. They weren't allowed to eat flesh. This is the most obscene example that can be given to them. And they were just, people were just so offended. But this Jesus was telling them good news. But they didn't, that's too much. So let's see what happened. Jesus knew that in their hearts they were murmuring. They were complaining. They didn't like this. He said, hey, does this offend you? Does that offend you? What and if you see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore I say unto you that no man can come to me except that were given unto him of my Father. Big part, whole point of why I'm bringing this up. From that time, what does it say? Many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They stopped. This is too much. He's gone too far. He has crossed the line. I don't want this. I don't know what I thought he was talking about something else, but now he's talking like this. Many of the disciples. What does it mean, disciple? Does it mean that they were saved because they're called disciples? Disciple means a follower, not necessarily. In fact, we're told he knew that they didn't believe. Okay, so let's keep going. Before I do that, I got a note here. So wait a minute. If the gospel is good news, then how and why are people leaving Jesus? Didn't we just say the gospel was good news? So why are people leaving this good news? Okay, let's keep going. Luke 14, this is our main text. If you turn on your Bibles to Luke 14, 25, this is going to be our main text that we're going to focus in on today. If you're there, okay, everyone there. If not, you can read on the screen while you're turning there. Luke 14, 25, and there was a great multitude with him. There went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them. So, I always love to do a little pause point at this moment. Here we go. Jesus just got done in the synagogue battling Pharisees. People were just so impressed with him. Everybody wanted to. There's a great multitude of people following him. If you're starting this movement, you're the coming Messiah, you want to spread your word into the world, and you got a great crowd following you, what would you and I do? Send out the sign-up sheet, right? Let's get some cell phone numbers and some things. Oh, no, we're going to have our next meeting. Let's get them hooked into the next fish fry, right? What does Jesus do? What does he do? He turns around and he gives them the gospel. If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters and yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. All right. This doesn't sound like good news to me. I mean, not the smartest person in the world, but this doesn't sound like good news to me. All right, let's go to another passage and let's try to go back. Let's go somewhere else and try to find that good news again, okay? Because it's out there, and boy, this news is going to be great. Turn in your Bibles to Luke 18, okay? Just a couple, few chapters back, we're going to find that good news again. That was just a one-off, guys. Don't worry about that. We're going to find it. Luke 18, 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" All right, here we go, right? We got an eager convert here. He is ready. He's ready to hear this good news. He's pursued Jesus. And now Jesus says, "Well, if you just pray, say some words, you'll have eternal life. Just say this prayer in this sequence, you'll have eternal life." Well, they say salvation's as easy as 1, 2, 3, admit, believe, confess, right? Just do it. You do it, bam. That's what Jesus does, right? If somebody came to us and said, "Hey, how can I have eternal life?" "Oh, brother, so simple." That's what Jesus tells them, right? "Oh, man, it's simple." Verse 23, "And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich." Whoa, whoa, whoa. Something must have fell out of my Bible. What happened to that good news? Why is this man walking away sorrowful? I don't understand. Maybe did we miss something? And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Okay. And when he heard it, he was sorrowful. I don't understand. This is supposed to be good news. What's going on here? What happened to the good news? Why didn't Jesus just tell him, "Just believe in me"? That's it. And Jesus said, this is the part we missed. 19 through 22, "And Jesus said unto him, Why do you call me good? Why do you call me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these I have kept from my youth up." I mean, God, that list you just gave me, I'm killing it. I got this. And this is the part that made him turn away. This is the part where he decided he can't do it. "Now, when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. So all that thou hast, distribute to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." You know, before I prepare this message, sometimes it's like we get so wrapped up in the fact that Jesus told him he had to sell everything he had. And we think that that was the point. So that means to be a follower of Jesus, we got to sell everything we have. What did he tell him? He said, sell everything you have, the treasures that you're holding on to this earth. You're going to have greater treasures in heaven. But he didn't just say, keep the commandments, sell everything you have. Where's the part? Where's the part that the crux of it all? Come follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. You guys remember, he asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" He came to Jesus, called him a good teacher. Jesus said, hey, don't call me good unless you believe that I am in fact God. And if in fact you believe that I'm God, you believe that I'm this teacher from God, then you should do what I say. But what was standing in between him and eternity? His wealth. Okay. This brings us to the main point of this message. Maybe believing in Jesus contains a lot more than we think. Maybe we can't just say some words or a prayer. Maybe there's more to this whole gospel thing. Let's go back to our main text, Luke 27 through 28. Jesus says here, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it?" Let me back up a little bit and go back to the young rich ruler. You know, we think it's this massive request that Jesus laid at his feet to leave everything and to follow him. But you know what? It's actually not a unique request at all. What happened when he was walking and he came across the disciples? He said, what? "Come, follow me." This wasn't a unique request. And they left their families. They left professions. They left everything to follow Jesus. This was not just a one time, well, Jesus knew his heart and the wealth was set. He's called people before to leave everything and follow him. But the thing I love about our Lord, he doesn't make us do it. He doesn't make you, he doesn't make me be his disciple. He, in fact, tells us, like he told this massive crowd that was following him, if you're not ready, if you are not willing to put me first above your family, which during this period, family was everything, if you're not willing to put me first, so you love me so much that it looks like you hate them, if you're not willing to die, pick up your cross, follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But here's what he tells them. Guys, you got to count the cost. You've got to seriously consider following him. Now, this isn't exactly, you know, good news to some people, but it is the good news. Go back to this again. Like I've already said, if you don't hate your mother, father, brother, sister, and again, the question's always, what is up with all this hate? Right? What happened to the good news? What happened? Your love for God, you love him so much. Like I said, it looks like hate. He's so much above everything and in front of everyone that they're like, man, why can't you come out anymore? Why can't you do this anymore? You're my son. You're my daughter. You're my wife. You're my husband. You're my child. Why? You put Jesus Christ first, okay? When we accept the gospel, we are accepting Jesus as Lord. And what does that mean? Our master. And if we have a master, what does that make us? Servants, not just servants, but it makes us, in fact, slaves. And again, the tone, whoa, 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 what about this tone? I don't like that. You know, why don't you just tell me this quick hit? You know, give me that John 3:16. Give me that quick hit where I can just pray and get Jesus. And I mean, I can fit Jesus somewhere, right? I mean, we got room in the kitchen, right, Melinda? We can pack Jesus somewhere in there. You know, just I got my life, I got my kids, I got my job, I got everything else. I can fit it. Just don't give me this, Jesus. Don't tell me I gotta do all these things, give up the. Just tell me what to say. And it wasn't that way. Let's find out more about the gospel. It's good news. Jesus tells everyone, Matthew 7:13-14, "Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and there are truckloads of people that find it." Billions of people that find it. I don't know about you, but if you ever walked on a narrow path, it's not so much fun, right? Jesus says, enter that. And then the last thing, one of the last things. "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? In thy name did we not cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works? I went to church. I taught class. I gave my money. What do you mean? He says, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You and I, you had all the right makings. You dress good. You sound good. You came to church. You did everything, but one thing you lacked. You never walked with me. We never knew each other. We had no relations. I could never ask you to do anything, and you would do it outside of convenience. So, wrapping all this up, to answer my, you know, actually there's a question then. I'll give you the question. Are you saying to me, Brother Roy, some people might be thinking, are you saying to me that in order to be saved, I've got to sell everything I have, disown everyone around me? Is that what it's going to take for me to receive this good news? And then again, the verses I went through, the narrow gate, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, not everybody that prays a prayer, not everybody that comes to church will in fact enter into the kingdom of heaven. So are you saying I got to do all these things in order to really receive the gospel? And let me tell you this, you may have to. You see, it wasn't, I love to go back to this passage with the young rich ruler. Right there, he says, he didn't just tell him to keep the commands, did he? He didn't just tell him to sell everything he had, did he? What's the part? What's the point of it all? Come follow me. And what did he do? He went away very sorrowful. So, do I need to sell everything in order to be saved? Do I need to disown everyone? You may have to. What is your barrier between you and Christ? That's what the point of this is. He had a barrier of wealth. Some of us here today may have a barrier of family. We may have a barrier of wife. We may have a barrier of job. We may have a barrier of wealth or money. You may have to remove these things in order for you to be saved. The gospel is still and was the good news that Jesus Christ came and he died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and he rose again, because if there is no resurrection, there's no hope. And for whosoever shall believe on him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's the gospel. It is the good news. But yet men reject it, they despise it, they don't want it, because they want Jesus and. I want to be saved. Everybody wants salvation. Who wants to go to hell, right? Besides some crazies, maybe, right? Nobody wants to go to hell. Nobody wants condemnation and judgment, but everybody wants to be saved, but not everybody wants the Savior. You cannot separate. Some of these passages that I brought up, you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What does that have to do with the gospel? It has everything to do with the gospel, because you can't separate the message, the messenger from the message, right? Jesus came and he told these people, if you don't hate your mother, father, brother, sister, if you don't eat of my flesh, drink of my blood, they wanted the salvation. They wanted the healing. They wanted the rewards, but they didn't want the man behind it. And the young rich ruler came and he was so eager, like maybe we are today, so eager to follow. And yet, there's something in between. So today, in closing, guys, there is a judgment. And I'm not trying to be scary. I'm not trying to bring down the chains of hell, the hounds of hell with the chains, and make you all nervous and worried. But you should be worried. Because all of us, the flesh will perish, but inside of all of us, there is a soul, there is a spirit, and it will live forever somewhere. And that choice is you, heaven or hell. Maybe you said a prayer. Maybe somebody prayed for you. Maybe you squeezed somebody's hand, and that's how you got saved. I'm not sure how it happened for you, but I know if you are saved, there are clear signs of your salvation. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, 2 Corinthians 13:15. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. I don't know who's saved here. I don't know who's not. I don't care if you prayed a prayer. I don't care what you've done. You know, if you tell me I am saved, that's between you and God. But I tell you what, His Spirit and your spirit should bear witness. There should be a lifestyle. There should be evidence. Am I preaching works-based salvation? No, but just like these other people, when Jesus presented the gospel, He didn't just say, fit it in somewhere. It was an all or nothing deal. It was an all-encompassing. So if you're here today and you, in fact, have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm not your judge. I have no clue. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But I tell you what, if there has been a time where you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today's the day. Today's the day, amen? So we're going to close, and then I'm going to do this a little bit different. I don't have my watch. So, if you are here today, and you've never, ever, ever in your life surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, never. There was never that point of salvation. There was never that moment of surrender. There was never that moment where you had that turnaround. When Jesus said, repent and believe in the gospel, what that meant was to change your mind. That means you were headed this way, right? I'm doing what I want. I'm where I want to be. There was a change of mind. There was a repentance. There was a turning around. Has there ever been that turning point in your life? If you are here today and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you've never had this true turnaround, you've never had this true surrender, today is your day of salvation. And I'm here for you today. And right now, right here, with every head up, every eye open, everybody looking around, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, will you raise your hand today? I've never surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. Some people are like, oh, my word, you're doing this. Everybody looking around. Let me tell you something. The Bible says, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. You draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. Don't be afraid to raise your hand in here. Your problems aren't here. If you raise your hand that you've never accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, I promise you, everybody here is going to be so happy. It's out there that your problem starts. It's out there that this old life is waiting on you. So anybody, again, I ask again, I'm not twisting arms, I'm not trying to make you do something. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, will you raise your hand? I want to surrender my life to Christ. And it's okay if I don't see any hands. I rejoice in that, if this is true. Amen. Amen. If you did want to do that, if you did raise your hand for salvation, you were going to come forward, you were going to have a seat, and we were going to talk, and we were going to open the scriptures to make sure that you know this Jesus that you want to surrender your life to and follow. But if you didn't raise your hand, that leads me to two conclusions. Two. Conclusion number one, you're lost, and you're dead in your sin. And you, unlike a lot of other people, you didn't just have an emotional response. You've counted the cost, and you've seen that in fact, if I follow Jesus Christ, that means I got to get rid of this. I got to stop doing that. I can't go here. I can't do that. And you know that you're not ready for that. You know that you're not at that point of full surrender. And so you kept your hand down. Jesus says, count the cost. And that's between you and the Lord. And I can tell you, whatever is your barrier between you and salvation, whether it's your pride, whether you don't want to be embarrassed, I'm not raising my hand. That's between you. I'll still be here afterwards. It's not this moment or never, you know. Well, prayerfully, once you get out there, I have no clue what's going to happen. But if you never, you know, if you have not raised your hand, maybe you counted the cost. Maybe you're not ready to come to that point of surrender. If, in fact, you are here today, and, in fact, you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've accepted that good news, then I have a request for you today. Don't make his death in vain. Don't make this death in vain. Don't despise this good news. Don't live a life that discredits everything that Jesus has done on the cross and everything that he wants to give us. Amen? If you are here today and you are in fact a child of God, then your master is calling you to recommit, refocus, resurrender. What year are we going into? 2019, right? It's a new year. We can save X amount of money. We can go to X amount of places. We can lose X amount of weight. We can build X amount of things on the house. You know, I've been looking at that boat, right? I know, right? I can maybe get a boat. Oh, man, 2019 can be so great. But will it be a year of surrender? What if Jesus doesn't want you to get that boat? What if Jesus doesn't want you to take that vacation? Will you surrender to him? So if you're here today, now everybody bow your heads. We can bow our heads and we'll pray together. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm sitting here in a room full of people. No one raised their hand, Father. So I can only guess that means that a lot of people here know you. They're walking with you. They're trusting you, Father. And again, I am no one's judge of whether or not they have you or they know you as their Lord and Savior. Father, the scriptures tell us to examine ourselves to be if we be in the faith, to see if we be in the faith. The scriptures tell us, Lord, that the Spirit will bear witness, Father. We know deep down inside whether or not we know you or not, Father. And Lord, the battle is coming as soon as we go out those doors. And Father, I pray today that if anyone doesn't know you, that they wouldn't chance it, that they wouldn't live this life of Russian roulette, Lord, where maybe they'll be saved later, maybe they'll, I have no clue, Father. But the point is not just whether or not they pray a prayer or they just, you know, come and express desires, Lord. May they, unlike the young rich ruler, will not allow any barrier to stop them from pursuing you. Father, 2019 is coming in just a few days, God, and I pray that you will reign supreme this year. I pray that unlike ever before, Father, that we will see you work in our lives, Father. The world is in your hands, Father, but I know that you've called us to live out a life in you, through you, with you. And so, God, I pray that 2019 is a year where you reign as supreme. You reign as our Savior. And for those of us that know you, Father, may we surrender, recommit again things that we're holding on to, things that we don't want to let go, sins that we got plans to commit, sins that we've already committed, Father. Lord, I pray that there'll be a new, a freshening, awakening in our spirits and just understand you are our Master. You are the Lord of our salvation. This good news that is a free gift came at a price, and you ask us to surrender to you. And so, God, this morning, God, I pray that you will just reign supreme in our lives. Father, as we leave this place, may we just recommit, refocus, God. And we're so thankful that you are a God who saves. We don't have to do anything special to receive your free gift, Father. We've just got to surrender. This isn't a work salvation that I'm talking about, Lord. There's nothing we can do. If we could be good enough, if that young rich ruler, if he said, pay this, I could have been paid. If he said, just keep those commandments, he thought he was doing it. God, there's nothing we can do to earn salvation. But we do have to come to a full surrender. Father, the white flag is up. May it be up in all of our lives. May you reign supreme. And Lord, again, be the God of our lives. And as we dismiss from this place, protect us, keep us, keep our minds, help us to recommit and be focused on you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.